Week 2, Day 3. Scripture readings are Job chapters 19 and 28. Chapter 19. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you torment me and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have cast reproach upon me. Are you not ashamed to wrong me? And even if it be true that I have erred, my error remains with myself. If indeed you magnify yourselves against me, and make my disgrace an argument against me, know then that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net about me. Behold, I cry out, 'Violence,' but I am not answered. I call for help, but there is no justice. He has walled up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness upon my paths. He has stripped me from my glory and taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side, and I am gone, and my hope has he pulled up like a tree. He has kindled his wrath against me, and counts me as his adversary. His troops come on together, and they have cast up their siege ramp against me, and encamp around my tent. He has put my brothers far from me, and those who knew me are wholly estranged from me. My relatives have failed me, my close friends have forgotten me. The guests in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I have become a foreigner in their eyes. I call to my servant, but he gives me no answer. I must plead with him with my mouth for mercy. My breath is strange to my wife, and I am a stench to the children of my own mother. Even young children despise me. When I rise, they talk against me. All my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I have loved have turned against me. My bones stick to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me, have mercy on me, O you my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you, like God, pursue me? Why are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold and not another, my heart faints within me. If you say, 'How will we pursue him?' and 'The root of the matter is found in him,' be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment." Chapter 28, Job continues. "Surely there is a mine for silver, and a place for gold that they refine. Iron is taken out of the earth, and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness, and searches out the farthest limit, the ore and gloom and deep darkness. He opens shafts in a valley, away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air, far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the places of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they do not trickle, and the thing that is hidden he brings out to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It's not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not with me.' It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued and pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, "We have heard a rumor of it with our ears." God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the end of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to man, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." Job's Clear Understanding of Wisdom by Grant and Gillian Creary. Chapter 19 contains insight into the side effects of Job's suffering. The loss of his family and wealth and the physical suffering of his illness were utterly devastating, but in this chapter we also see how his relationship with other people who had been close to him was also impacted. He lamented that even those who dwell in my house count me a stranger. Job chapter 19, verse 15. Aside from his appearance, even his breath was terrible, and his close friends abhorred him. Job, however, had been given amazing insight by God. In verses 25 to 27, he declared his belief in the resurrection. He knew that he would have a resurrected body and see the Lord with his own eyes. When the truth is confirmed, such as through the writers of the four Gospels and Paul, we know that it is trustworthy. But how could Job know these things when there was no Bible in his days? In fact, the book of Job is considered to be the oldest book of the Bible. The answer is that God revealed it to him. Revelation is given in greater measure to those whose walk with the Lord is closer. So this confirms what we already knew, that Job was a righteous man with a close walk with God. In chapter 28, there's a marvelous discourse on wisdom. Job's assessment parallels what we read in the book of Proverbs and in the Psalms, with a glowing appreciation for its value, far above anything else we can desire. In verse 20, Job asks, "Where does wisdom come from?" Of course, Jesus is the personification of wisdom, but how can we attain it for ourselves? Job answers the question. It begins with having the fear of the Lord in our lives and departing from evil. Job chapter 28, verse 28. We should ask, do I really value wisdom in keeping with the words of Job? We're probably familiar with the link between the fear of the Lord and wisdom, but this familiarity may cause us to overlook its importance. A person may have abilities such as in a trade or profession, but that person may not be wise in God's eyes, because abilities and skills do not equate to wisdom. Attaining wisdom begins with the deepest concern in our life being that we would displease the Lord. Would being disrespectful to him or failing to please him cause us great sorrow? We must keep his commands and live righteously and reverently. This is where we can begin to become wise. Questions. 1. What does it actually mean to be wise? Two, what would we observe as evidence that the fear of the Lord is in a person's life? Three, the New Testament writers considered it important to be looking to the return of Jesus and our resurrection. Why would that be so? 4. Dear Lord, I understand that wisdom is a highly prized quality, and I ask that you make me into a wise person. 5.